The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
It is my privilege this morning to introduce a guest to Westminster, but someone that we have come to know very well through opportunities to teach in Jakarta, Indonesia, and Singapore, and other places in which the ministry of Dr. Intan and others has had a tremendous impact in Asia. And it's my privilege to introduce Dr. Benjamin Intan, who will be our chapel speaker this morning. Dr. Intan received his MA in Theological Studies from Reformed Theological Seminary, completed a second MA in Religion from Yale University, and his PhD in Social Ethics from Boston College. He currently is the director of the Reform Center for Religion and Society, a center founded by Dr. Intan and the Reverend Dr. Stephen Tong. It's a Reformed think tank in terms of engaging Reformed theology within the context of Indonesia, and particularly that being a Muslim context. He is also an ordained minister in the Reformed Evangelical Church of Indonesia and has served since 2004 as the General Secretary of their Synod. He is also a member of the Board of Directors for World Reformed Fellowship. And I can say this with Dr. Gardner, he is a fellow refugee with us when we were stuck in the UK under that ash cloud. And we're thankful that Dr. Intan was able to get out and come here to the States to speak to us this morning. He's going to be sharing with us a bit about what is going on in Indonesia and the Reformed Church in Indonesia and how it is engaging gospel ministry there. And we have the privilege also of hearing him at 1 p.m. today in room 1, where he'll be giving a lecture entitled Religious Freedom in Indonesia, a Reformed Contribution. And I think that he brings a unique perspective that I'm very much hoping that many of us will go and listen and hear what he has to share. Because I think that as we are facing a global world now in which world religions are something that we will, in fact, engage with, both here in the States as well as in other countries, and even at the World Reformed Fellowship, there was much discussion, particularly about engaging Islam. And here we have a brother, a scholar, who is at the front lines of that in a country in which Christianity and Christians are the minority. And to be able to learn from someone who has, in fact, talked with Islamic scholars and leaders face-to-face, an experience that I know I've not had, and I doubt many of our faculty members here have had before. And there's much that he can teach us, and much that he can help us understand about this world religion as we continue the gospel work in the global 21st century. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Intan, and please, we will very much enjoy both this morning as well as your seminar this afternoon.
Good morning. I thank God for the opportunity to share with you our struggle in Indonesian church. This is an outline of my presentation. I would start with the introduction. Henry Kramer, in his book, A Study of Mission, Henry Kramer is a Dutch missionary, said that an institution, be it a church, a school, or a state, can be considered established only when it has survived for at least 4 generations. One generation is about 40 years. Kramer mentioned in his book that while the founder is still alive, the institution embraces its vision 100%. However, on the second generation, it becomes 75%. The third generation, 50%. The fourth generation, 25%. And the fifth generation only remain 5% left. The establishment of Reformed faith in church and seminary, to my observation, finds no exception to this pattern. For instance, Harvard University, after existing for 70 years, the second generation Puritans left the Harvard, heading for New Haven and established Yale University, because to them, Harvard was no longer faithful to Calvinism. Institutions such as Free University in Holland and Princeton Theological Seminary in the United States, before reaching 100 years, were no longer faithful to the Reformed Orthodox faith. Second example, Hervormde Kerken, the Dutch Reformed Church at the end of 19th century, had compromised herself to liberalism. Therefore, Abraham Kuyper left the church and founded a conservative reform-based church called Nederduitse Gereformeerde Kerken. History recorded that Kuyper walked out was followed by the exodus of 200 churches, where about 180,000 members and 76 ministers then joined the new church founded by Kuyper. Reformed churches in Indonesia should be seen in this perspective. The Reformed Church came to Indonesia for the first time in the 17th century. Before reaching the fourth generation, they collapsed, abandoning their faith and embracing the spirit of liberalism and nowadays charismatics. Out of the concern of these dying Reformed churches, Reformed Evangelical Church of Indonesia, RECI, was born. Not to compete with the existing churches, but to encourage and to spark the evangelical fire based on Calvinistic reform theology. Unlike Kuyper, the establishment of RECI does not cause divisions among churches, for the majority members of the RECI are the fruits of evangelism. We will see the background of Reformed churches in Indonesia. Reformed churches in Indonesia were planted by Dutch missionaries during the 350 years of Dutch colonialism in Indonesia. Supported by the Dutch colonials, Reformed churches in Indonesia were given facilities and assistance, such as funds, ministers, and Reformed teachings. Everything was provided comfortably. Lullabied by these facilities, the churches became handicapped and had to pay a very high price, losing their fighting spirit. Secondly, theologically speaking, Reformed churches in Indonesia were under the influence of Pietistic theology. As you know, the biggest weakness of Pietism, was that it was narrowed down to vertical or spiritual life only. It did not emphasize on the horizontal or social life. Pietism caused dualistic life, spiritual and secular. Consequently, Reformed churches were not aware of social issues like the injustice of colonialism in Indonesia, in which their countrymen had suffered. Thirdly, the situation started to change after young, educated Indonesian Christians began to realize the importance of their own country independence. As part of the facilities provided by Dutch colonials, young Christian men and women were sent to Dutch schools in Indonesia and in Netherlands. While studying, these young men and women began to realize the importance of nationalism spirit, the unity and solidarity of all Indonesians despite differences of stripes and races. They began to spark the nationalism spirit within Reformed churches. For the first time, Reformed churches began to stand independently from Zending, the Dutch mission, by establishing Indonesian Council of Churches, Jakarta Theological School, Indonesian Christian University, and etc. Strengths of Reformed churches in Indonesia. First, Reformed churches in Indonesia were in their weakest point when they were lullabied with facilities provided by Dutch colonials. However, when nationalism emerged, the fighting spirit arose. Secondly, Christians and Reformed churches undeniably took the important role of fighting for the independence of Indonesia. What they did was not without struggles and sacrifices. The love of Christians to their country, Indonesia, has been strongly proven. Because of their love for their country, Christians rejected all kinds of facilities provided and standing independently. Third, Indonesian Christians were fighting not only because they loved their country. Primarily, Christians rejected the colonialism due to their obedience to the word of God. That is not to compromise with all kinds of evil deeds, injustice, and ill-treating acts. Therefore, Christians agreed that Indonesia was better ruled by nationalist Indonesian Muslims than by Dutch Christian colonials. Challenge first. Reformed churches in Indonesia were part of the World Council of Churches, and thus the influence of Western liberal churches with their social gospel was unavoidable. Consequently, the Reformed churches were no longer delighted in spirituality, became less evangelistic. Secondly, at the same time, the charismatic movement with its attractive spiritual formation had gradually taken over the mainstream and added the pressure on Reformed churches because a great deal of congregation crossed over to charismatic churches. Thirdly, moreover, the unwritten law of the state that forbids Christians to evangelize believers of other state official religions has expedited the diminishing spirit of evangelism in Reformed churches. Also, the rise of radical Islam adds up the great challenge of applying the gospel mandate in Indonesia. Christianization is seen as a religious blasphemy, and the convicted will be put into prison. This threat has successfully suppressed the spirit of evangelization. Out of the concern of these dying Reformed churches in Indonesia, Reformed Evangelical Church of Indonesia was established by Reverend Dr. Stephen Tong in 1989. He was called to reinstate the Reformed faith in which sound doctrine, strong spirit of evangelization, and orthodox apologetics are emphasized strongly to direct, lead, and judge the culture. RECI is promoting Reformed Evangelical movement that encourages Christians not only to preach the gospel and teach the truth, but also to carry out the cultural mandate, applying the principle of the scriptures in all cultural aspects. The RECI headquarters is located in Jakarta. Now, there are about 47 churches within 21 years that have been planted, of which 18 are located in Singapore, Malaysia, China, Taiwan, Australia, Germany, and United States. This is our mother church located in Jakarta, established by Dr. Stephen Tong, dedicated in 2008. This church is considered as the largest church in Indonesia. We wait about 15 years to get the license for this church. And we are grateful that Indonesia, the largest Muslim countries, we can build such a mega church in Indonesia. The main church, the main sanctuary capacity is about 4,700 seats. This is a picture of Reformed Millennium Center of Indonesia. We have a Messiah Cathedral, that is the main church. We have also like a Reformed Institute, a theological school there, cultural center. We have concert hall inaugurated last year in October, and museum is going to be open in this coming September. And we also have facility and apartment education center, 24 floors. Our church do what the Bible mandate us. We have like two mandates mentioned by Jesus, gospel mandate and cultural mandate. In gospel mandate means preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. In carrying out the cultural mandate, Dr. Tong has preached faithfully since he was 17 years old. This is last year in his preaching in Manado, attended by 45,000 people, And 2 years ago, he preached mass evangelism in Jakarta, attended by 35,000 people. The largest crowd that he have in his gospel rally is couple of years, is in 1990s in Manado, attended by 65,000 people. And not only Dr. Tong did a gospel rally, but also young pastor and young evangelists. They, every year, they have done a gospel rally targeting boys and girls in the school ages from 8 to 18 years old. And in 2006, we start with 17,000 students in dozens of gospel rally in Indonesia. And in 2007, we increase 43,000 students. In 2008, 120,000 students. And 2009, last year, we reached 260,000 students have listened to the gospel. And last month, up to last month, we already reached 200,000 students in about almost 100 cities. Up to last month, we finished about 3 months this year. We already reached 200,000. And this is boys and girls in school ages. How do they respond to gospel after they listen to the gospel? And usually young pastor and evangelist, they made an altar calling and they respond to come forward to the pulpit, to the stage. And we also doing cultural mandate, meaning applying the Bible principle in culture as in school, in the music, economics, politics, architecture, etc. In carrying out the cultural mandate, RECI established the only concert hall in Indonesia and in the international standard, and acknowledged by world conductor Dr. Yahya Ling as one of the best concert hall in Asia and even in the world. Yahya Ling is San Diego music director. This concert hall, the capacity is about like 1,227 seats. Reverend Dr. Stephen Tong, he designed this concert hall. He also is a conductor. Yeah, this is our concert hall inaugurated by Mr. Taufik Kimas, Chairman of People's Consultative Assembly of Indonesia, considered as the second most powerful person after the president. Taufik Kimas is a husband of Megawati, former president of Indonesia. He gave speech in our inauguration of the concert. Yeah, and we thank God that we conducted a concert, Christmas concert in 208 Messiah, Handel. This is attended by 9,000 people in two sessions, in 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. in our main sanctuary. In carrying out the cultural mandate, we also built a school, Calvin School. A couple of years ago, we started an elementary school, junior high school, and this year we will start a senior high school. And we also established Reform Center for Religion and Society. And how do we try to influence public opinion and to change public policy? We did like a seminar on nationalism and global pluralism. And one of the speakers is Abdurrahman Wahid, former president of Indonesia. And we did a seminar on the key of Indonesia economic revival. And the lady in the middle of the picture is Mari Pangestu. She's a Minister of Trade. We thank God for everything that God's presence in our ministry. And by this, I end my presentation. God bless all of us. I would like to ask Professor Jeff Ju to lead us in closing prayer.
Thank Dr. Intan for sharing with us about what his church and what the Lord is doing in Indonesia. Let us pray together. Father, we give you thanks because you are our sovereign God. And your sovereignty extends, Father, over all of your creation. And we thank you, Father, that we can share in the fellowship of Christ with brothers and sisters from all parts of the world. And for the report that we've heard this morning from Indonesia, Father, we give you thanks for the church there that you have established, for the ministry that continues to bring the gospel to hundreds of thousands. Father, and we pray especially for brothers and sisters in that part of the world who are confronted, Father, with Islam and continue to be your witness in areas, Father, in which their own lives are in danger. We ask your blessing upon Dr. Intan, upon the work of his church, the center that he leads, the school there. We ask your blessing, Father, upon us as well as we continue to learn about the church in Indonesia so that we might better pray, Father, for our brothers and sisters in that part of the world. Bless us this morning, we pray, in all that we do, that we would continue to give you glory. We thank you and pray this in and through Jesus Christ. Amen.